Shyamasundara, did you dress Radha Nila Madhava this morning? You painted. Outstanding. It had the thumbprint of Shyamasundara on the deity decoration. Look closely later at what he's done. Just outstanding. How many here have already completed 16 rounds? Whoa. Okay. How many completed 24 rounds? Okay. Keep going. 64 round day. It's a nice immersion in nothing but the holy name. Now this presentation is deliberately short so that we can maximize our time for chanting. It's meant to be just some sound vibration that's inspirational to take shelter of Krishna's name. Now the title, Meanings of Krishna's Holy Name, has several inspirations. One of them is the holy name of Krishna is everything, because Krishna, Swayam Bhagavan Krishna, he's the source of everything, including all the other forms of the Lord that are emanations from him. And we've been given that name. And we've been given that name from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in disciplic succession, so that it's Krishna in Vrindavan that we're calling the name of and meditating upon, so that we can gradually through purification be with him eternally in his loving service. Now something on the other side is that there's this passage in Chaitanya Charitamrita, some of you are probably familiar, where Ballabha Bhatta wanted to impress Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that he had a nice explanation of the meaning of Krishna's name. And it has something to do with scholarship. And scholarship says an indirect meaning is a secondary meaning, and there's some very nice secondary meanings, and I want to share with you my scholarship about secondary meanings. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, I don't know any other meaning of the name of Krishna than Nanda Nandana and Yasoda Nandana. And so interpreting the name is wrong. So the meaning of Krishna's names is not to be interpreted. So something on the other side of the pan scale is from Hari Bhakti Vilas, which is a very comprehensive compilation of Sanatana Goswami, compliments of Gopal Bhatta Goswami. There's a how-to manual, and one of the how-tos is how to chant mantra. And the advice is that one should meditate on the meaning of mantra as you're chanting mantra. That's the inspiration for this. So we know, for example, that in Bhagavad Gita, there, especially chapter 1, there's names of Krishna that are being used by Arjuna, and in each and every one of these names that Arjuna addresses Krishna by, it's invoking a specific aspect of Krishna. Rishikesha, etc. So, Yogeshwara is a name of Krishna. He's the master of mystics. And whatever somebody has some mystic power, they derive that mystic power from Yogeshwara, the master of mystics, or the master of mysticism. Or another name Janardana is found in Bhagavad Gita, and this is Prabhupada's definition, straight from his writings. He who is the original abode, protector, and maintainer of all living beings. So this Janardana name often is used to indicate Supersoul. Paramatma is Janardana. And these names are according to the teaching of Haridas Thakur in Harinam Chintamani. These are secondary names. Secondary names carry with them the power to relieve one from material existence. They grant liberation. And then there's primary names, which we're encouraged to chant as well. And those primary names are names of Krishna that awaken love for Krishna, not just liberation, but love for Krishna. And specifically, the indication there is Harinam Chintamani. It's Krishna in his relationships with his devotees. That's the Bhagavan, or the personal feature, as opposed to the station or the position of the Supreme. So it's a nice science. From the 12th canto, the second to the last chapter, it's spoken by Sutta Goswami. When people properly glorify the Supreme Personality of Godhead, or simply hear about his power, that's the secondary, the Lord personally enters their hearts and cleanses away every trace of misfortune, just as the sun removes the darkness, or as a powerful wind drives away the clouds. This is a meditation on the chanting of Krishna's holy name. So, mentioned by Haridas Thakur, this primary name, one of them, is Yashoda Nandana. Beautiful, beautiful painting of Krishna on the lap of Mother Yashoda, and her affection for him, his affection for her. This is a primary name of Krishna. And Krishna in his feature of Gopal, the Pala, the protector of the cows, eternally, not only when Krishna performs his Leela in Vrindavan, but this is his eternal position. He's loved by the cows, and the cows love him. He loves the cows, and the cows love him. And of course, all of the other associates of Krishna have that same love for him. This Gopal mantra, this image here, this is the mantra that Gopa Kumar received. He refers to it as the Gopal or Madan Gopal mantra. And this Madan Gopal, it also indicates Achyuta, or this Krishna's position, very contrasting position to the living entity who is capable of falling, but Krishna's cannot fall. He's infallible. Infallible. Ajita, another name of the transcendental form of Krishna. This name Ajita, one of the references in the Bhagavatam is in this very last chapter of 12th canto, Shukadeva Goswami describes, previously I was experiencing the happiness of Brahman, but when I heard from my father about the wonderful pastimes and activities of Ajita, I abandoned that happiness, as we heard yesterday. This prema derides even the conception of Brahman, and he left the happiness of neutrality in Brahman for the happiness of the loving service of Ajita, starting with hearing about him. Here's that reference. Although in the beginning, this is Sutta speaking, Shukadeva Goswami was absorbed in the happiness of Brahman realization and living in a secluded place, giving up all other types of consciousness. This is Shukadeva Goswami after birth leaving the hermitage of Vyas, and Vyas is following behind him. But he just went to the forest in a secluded place. He became attracted by the pleasing, most melodious pastimes of Lord Sri Krishna, specifically Ajita, the unconquerable Lord. Purushottama. Of course, Purushottama can mean a feature of the Supreme Lord who's the master of the material energy, but in our understanding of Krishna's position as Purushottama, he is the superlative amongst all persons, as he married these 16,100 princesses, simply because they had no other shelter but him, and who can do that? What to speak of satisfy them all, what to speak of everything else that Krishna did with them in Dwarka. He is Rishikesha, the master of the senses. So he has his position in this world as the master of the senses, and in the transcendental realm, just by playing upon the flute in Vanshivat. The description in the Bhagavatam is the gopis were as if by force, they were drawn to Krishna through the sound of his flute. See their bodies being pulled, like being pulled by a strong wind. Different name of Krishna is Madhava, the husband of the goddess of fortune, Madhava. So there he is, Madhava, Radha, Nila, Madhava. There he is in Mayapur. Another image in Mayapur, and look at this. Here he is in Houston, Texas. Another of the primary names, this is Krishna, who appeared in the dynasty of Vishnu to glorify Vishnu. Otherwise, we wouldn't even know about Vishnu. So one of his names is Varshneya, descendant of Vishnu, appearing as the son of Vasudeva and Devaki from the Vishnu dynasty. And similarly, Yadava. Although this pastime pictured here is in Vrindavan, but the Yadava dynasty is from the family of Vasudeva and Devaki. But he performed his pastimes as Krishna in Vrindavan, still being identified by this name, Yadava. And Vasudeva, Krishna as the son of Vasudeva. And another well-known name of Krishna is Keshava. And this name Keshava is describing Krishna's quality of long, fine, beautiful hair. Like this amazing pastime. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu accepted sannyas, I don't know if you've been to that place where he accepted sannyas, there's a samadhi for the barber who cut his hair. And when his hair was cut, there was this wail and outcry from everyone that he, this beautiful. Normally I don't think of long hair as beautiful, but somehow his hair was. And when he lost his long, beautiful hair, there was this outcry, oh no. But similarly, when Krishna went to become a student of Sandipani Muni as a brahmachari, he had shaved head and sika too. Madhusudana, Krishna, who is the killer of the Madhu demon. Very, very, very early in the creation, because Madhu and Kaitava, they tried to steal the Vedas. In fact, they stole the Vedas from Brahma. And Brahma appealed to Vishnu, please protect the world from these two demons that now have the Vedas. So Krishna came and finished them. Not only the Madhu demon, but speaking of demons in general, Adi Sudana. Many pictures of demons that Krishna subdued. He didn't kill Kaliya, but he subdued Kaliya. And the others, he finished. And so he's the Adi Sudana. When their devotees are in difficulty, they know who to turn to. Krishna. Keshi Sudana, another name of Krishna. So again, each of these names, by just speaking them, there is transcendental potency specific to the pastime, and it invokes a feeling. Transcendental, we're covered, dull. But the potency is there nonetheless, just by what we're doing right now, reciting these names of Krishna. There's spiritual potency that is meant to draw our attention to Krishna. And of course, outstanding is the name Govinda. Ishvara Parama Krishna Sachit Ananda Vigraha Anadir Adir Govinda. Sarva Karana Karanam. He gives pleasure to the senses. In this pastime illustrated here, the lifting of Govardhan Hill, and he gives pleasure to the cows. Krishna loves cows. I was having this nice discussion, little anecdotal, quickly, with somebody from a family of Christian scientists. You ever heard of that before? Anybody here? Christian scientists? So, she still is an undergraduate student at the University of Washington in St. Louis. She was a freshman at the time, and she was coming just at the very beginning of the semester, and her mother is a Christian scientist, but her mother has read Bhagavad Gita. So when she saw this advertisement of a discussion on Bhagavad Gita, she wanted to come because she knew that her mother had read it and so forth. And so I asked her, I'd like to learn more about the views of Christian scientists. If I were to ask you some questions, would you be able to share? Sure, she said, I'm not a scholar, but I have some idea. Then I can share with you what the Bhagavad Gita perspective is on the same topic. She said, sure. So in short, Christian scientists believe very clearly the soul is distinct from the body, chapter 2, Bhagavad Gita. They believe in reincarnation after this life, one goes on. It's very explicit in Christian scientists. And then one will continue that cycle of birth and death until the stage of perfection comes, where one is absorbed in love and devotion for God. I said, wow, this is one-to-one match. And then the question was, what's it like there? When you go to God, what's it like? What do people do? What's the travel advertisement? And she said, I don't know. I said, well, how do you know people can go there then? Can they send back a message and say, this is what it's like? Or what's to attract you to go there? Your message was, well, you know when you get there, And I said, okay, that's nice. From when we're here to know what it's like, it's the Vedas describe what it's like. There's this wonderful travel advertisement. Very good marketing. It makes you inspired to be with Krishna. And I said, you want to hear what the name of the planet of Krishna is? She said, sure. I said, it's Goloka. She said, what does that mean? I said, literally it means the planet of the cows. And she said, no. I said, why no? Well, because. Because why? Well, cows. I said, well, why not cows? Krishna loves cows. One of his names is Govinda and Gopal. And I said, but these aren't, you can't have cows. But no, these are not ordinary. The cows here are, you know, this as above, so below. The cows there are Surabhi cows. They're cows that give unlimited quantities of anything you want, not just milk when they're lactating. So I have to think about that. Okay. But you won't understand by thinking about that. You'll understand by hearing and the purification that comes from calling the name. It happens by, there's potencies within the name that reveal the truths of the spiritual world. That's why we chant the Hare Krishna mantra. That was a little too much for her. But she said, well, that's interesting. Have to think about it. Very nice B.G. Sharma painting where Krishna is shown twice. Little Gopal, and over here is Krishna with the cows, and the life of Vrindavan is with cows. Nice image of Radha Govinda in New York. And Govinda Ji in Jaipur, the wonderful deity of Rupa Goswami. And then of course there's Krishna. And this name of Krishna is complete, meaning all attractive. So Krishna is not only attractive to the cows, Krishna is attractive to everyone. In this world, what to speak of, where the hearts are pure, in the spiritual world, the peacocks and the trees and the creepers and everything, they have unrestricted attraction for Krishna according to their position, their natural love for Krishna. Here's a description from Vishnu Sahasranam. Some are very familiar with that. In the names of the 1,000 names of Vishnu, one of the names is Krishna. And here's what Baladev, who wrote a commentary on Vishnu Sahasranam, what he writes about Krishna. The syllable Krish means existence, and the syllable Na means bliss. The combination of these two is Krishna, the name of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So his commentary is taken directly from the Upanishad, Gopal Tapani Upanishad. The all-attractive person. Jiva Goswami writes, when the word Krishna is uttered in a mantra, the very moment the first syllable is vibrated, this sound attracts the attention of Lord Krishna himself. Now, a little sharing. In other japa retreats, sometimes we'll be doing this at the end, when we, after 4:45 or whenever it is, we'll be asking, you know, would you like to share, and what was something that was really helpful. Many, many people say just this one slide helped them throughout, because when we're chanting, it's Krishna's hearing. Not only Krishna's hearing, but Krishna's attracted. And even we don't have to say his whole name. Just Krish. We say the whole name. But if just the first syllable, Krishna becomes attracted. It's a relationship with Krishna that we're entering into or invoking, or in Prabhupada's words, Krishna, please accept me. Well, of course Krishna is going to accept us if we turn to him with love and devotion, but that's the mood of humility for the devotee. I left you. I turned away and walked. And I forgot our relationship and suffered too much. And now, although I'm undeserving, I'm unworthy, I'm fallen, I've deviated, I turned my back on you, nonetheless, unqualified as I am, I'm appealing. Please accept me. Just saying the first syllable of his name, with all of that humility, Krishna becomes attracted. Here's Krishna speaking to Uddhava, 11th canto. My dear Uddhava, by associating with my pure devotees, one can destroy one's attachment for all objects of material sense gratification. Such purifying association brings me under the control of my devotee. So keep chanting, not so that you can bring Krishna under control, but the loving nature of Krishna is such that not only he becomes attracted, but he gives himself. He places himself in the care of his devotee. This is the affectionate nature, unrestricted, unlimited affectionate nature of Krishna. Another name of Krishna is Shyama Sundara, his darkish complexion like a rain cloud. And of course, Shyama Sundara is never alone. He's always with Radha, Radha Shyama Sundara. And here's Radha Shyama Sundara in Vrindavan. And other deities of Radha Shyama Sundara. Finally, just two very nice, I like, inspirational messages. This is Raghunath Das Goswami in his Stavavali. Mix the delicious nectar of the name Radha with the wonderfully sweet condensed milk of the name Krishna. Add the fragrant ice of pure love and drink this elixir at every moment. The painting at the bottom is Raghunath Das Goswami, so absorbed by the sight of Radhakund chanting Krishna's holy name in the midst of the heat of the summer that Radha came, held up her upper garment to block the sun. And as she was blocking the sun, she was perspiring, and the image shows there's a puddle of perspiration at her feet just to protect Raghunath Das from becoming baked by the heat of the sun. This was observed by Sanatan Goswami. And after Radha left, when the sun's heat dissipated, he came and scolded. Raghunath, you're so renounced that you're now causing Radharani to serve you? What kind of renunciation is this? Raghunath, build a bhajan kutir. We'll build for you. Please accept it. He said, yes, yes, but didn't. Finally, it happened. Narottam Das Thakur, another very nice reference. O brother, if you chant the name of Krishna, Radhika, being pleased with you, will bless you in many ways. And if you chant the name of Radha, Krishna will be pleased and fulfill your innermost desires. This instruction is the essence of all advice, beyond which there's nothing, and by which all troubles fly away from your heart. If you hear other words to the contrary, ignore them, for they will bring only misery and sorrow. Now our mantra is not Radhe Krishna, it's Hare Krishna. It's same meaning, internal potency of Krishna. But this name Hare refers to a name of Radha that's Hara, and Hara is she is so kind she takes away all other attractions besides one remaining attraction, the attraction for Krishna. That's our mantra. So that's it, a short class. On when we're chanting, these are little sound vibrations, little inspirational vibrations from our acharyas to help us become simply absorbed in the name and not distracted, although there's the tendency of the mind is to be distracted, but the power of Krishna can help us remain focused. Some effort is required, but the potency is there and the all-attractive Krishna to keep us in his company, attract us to him instead of our distractions. Great opportunity. Few recommendations. Ideal, depending upon your comfort level, ideal is to chant together in the temple room. Many of us chant in our homes. Many of you chant in your homes where you don't have this sangha. Those that, when we have this opportunity, you'll experience the sangha is very powerful. Many, many times it's been shared. You sit next to somebody that's intensely absorbed in chanting and just stay there. It will help you. And just the whole room filled with the sound of the holy name and the spiritual potency of everyone focused on one thing, it helps. Things just get carried and swept away with the sound vibration. If you need to get up and go for a walk, get up and go for a walk and then come back, and you'll experience, wow, I want to stay here in the association of the devotees chanting together. Very, very powerful resource. Of course, the deities, great inspiration. It'll be nice if we can have a Tulsi somewhere in the room. So that will also be a source of meditation. I'm going to project onto the screen these little sayings. Cry for Krishna. A nice devotee, Krishnavali, has made a book with her permission. It's illustrated in the way that you'll see. It's another resource. So make your best effort to take shelter of Krishna's holy name. Another little last final piece of advice. Eat lightly, more than you might otherwise, because sitting and chanting, you get groggy if you don't follow this advice. I think that's been the experience of devotees, and personally my experience. So, happy journey. And remember Mounavrata. If you have to deal with your children, please do it quietly and softly, and otherwise, nada. Okay. Srila Prabhupada ki. Harinam Sankirtan ki. Shishi Radha Nila Madhava ki. Gaur Pimanandi.